Grace, peace, and love be yours from the God who so loves this world. Amen. The title of my sermons, if many of you notice, it seems to be a really popular thing these days to have a really catchy title in the hopes that that would draw people in. So if I had to give this sermon a title and maybe draw you in, I would call it A Case for the Liturgy, Why Promises and Rituals Matter. As you might know, Pastor Jeff and I are preaching on the Old Testament lectionary readings for the season of Lent. We are doing through this through our Lenten theme of love unspoken. Therefore, I think we need a little background necessary for our Genesis reading this morning. Last week was Deuteronomy, this week is Genesis, next week is... What are we doing next week?
Oh, just wait and see.
Okay. So, this morning, we're joined with Abram, who would later become Abraham. He was the man that God called out of Ur to found a new nation in the north. Scripture tells us that Abram took his entire family and possessions with him on this journey. One of the family members who traveled with Abram and his wife Sarai was their nephew Lot. However, Lot and Abram decided that the best thing for their relationship was splitting up and each taking some of the land God promised Abram. However, there was no peace in Lot's land, and he is eventually taken captive by opposing forces. Abram, having heard of this strife, sends out a group of people to rescue Lot and bring back their stolen goods. Abram then, wanting to make peace with King Melchizedek, which I think is a really fun name, goes back to his family and land, taking nothing with him except what he brought to the quarrel. This is where we find Abram, exhausted from the battles, irritated at Lot for getting captured, and saddened that he and Sarai still do not have a child. Abram gets a vision at that point where God states, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." God makes a first promise to Abram, stating that God will be with him and God will protect him. Here, for the first time in Scripture, Abram talks back to God. While the Bible never uses adjectives to describe how something is said, I picture Abram a bit despondent when he replies to God, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." Here, God reveals another promise to Abram. God takes Abram out of the tent and shows him the stars. Have any of you ever been out on a clear sky night? You can probably imagine then the emotions Abram felt in that moment. As I read over this part of the scripture this week, I thought about how the words from the hymn, "How Great Thou Art," came to mind. O Lord my God, when I stand in awesome wonder, consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And Abram believes God. This is what the Bible tells us, and I assume Abram believes God, likely with tears in his eyes and hope in his heart. Abram believed that God loved him, his family, and the world in that moment. We are told that Abram's belief is what makes him righteous. His relationship with God was made right, and God promises to Abram for unspoken love. Without condition or reservation, God pledges God's self to Abram. Naturally, like all of us, or at least in my case, myself, Abram wanted to know proof that God would uphold God's word. He inquired about this, saying, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" That it being the land. So God made a covenant with Abram. The Hebrew word for makes here in Genesis is kerath, which means to cut. Abram ritualistically cuts the animals in half, and God passes between them. God might be the one who instigates the covenant, but both parties were responsible for keeping it. In many ways, this ritualistic promise conveys that if either party does not keep the covenant, they will die. Think about that. God keeps God's promises until death. And since God defeats death through Jesus, God always keeps God's promises. And thankfully, we are forgiven when we do not keep our promises to God or to one another. Our Lutheran liturgy is filled with promises. Promises God makes to us, promises we make of others and to others, promises we make to God, and promises we make to each other. If you want, you can feel free to pull out your hymnal and turn to page 227 of the small print. It is on page 227 that the sacramental liturgical ritual of holy baptism begins. Those are just some words I made up to say, well, baptism. It is here that we hear about God's promises when the minister proclaims, "By water and the word, God delivered us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ." We also hear that in cases of the child being baptized, that parents are also entrusted with certain responsibilities and promises. Those parents not only make those promises in that rite to God, but to their child as well. Even the congregation makes promises to the one being baptized in helping them live in the covenant of baptism and supporting them in this new life. Not only are these words said, but the ritual of marking the baptized with water in the form of a cross on their forehead, and sponsors holding light candles representing the light of Christ, and the congregation reading the beliefs of the church in the words of the Apostles' Creed, are all physical signs of this covenant. The unspoken love is that the baptized is a beloved child of God. Nothing they do, or nothing we do, will ever change that. For those of us who are married, marital vows are also promises spouses make to God and to one another. As someone who is married and as someone who will one day officiate at weddings, I take marriage vows very seriously. We hope, when couples get married, that they do so unto death. However, we recognize that divorce happens, that brokenness is normal, and some marriages will end before death. When couples marry, they promise an unspoken love, that no matter what comes, they will always be by one another's side through all of it. Even our funeral liturgies are rich with ritual and unspoken love. We are reminded that God formed us out of the dust, and God breathed the life that we live. Our theology teaches that God comes to us in our grief and holds us in an everlasting embrace. Finally, we are told that God receives the one who has died into God's mercy and everlasting peace. Here, the unspoken love is that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. Friends, these are just some examples of the unspoken love in only a few of our liturgies and rituals. Liturgies are just rites that we, the people of God, do as a response to God's ongoing love. Rituals are just actions that show us God's ongoing love. They are incredibly simple, fundamental, I would argue, but they are transformative. Through liturgy and ritual, we are changed. Baptism brings us into the community of God in the church. Marriage creates partnership, and funerals remind us that death does not have the last word. When we break our promises, God forgives us. However, God does not break God's promises. As Jesus mentions in the gospel, God gathers us up like a hen does to her chicks. Do we therefore, like Abram, believe God? Because if we do, it ought to radically transform us and the world. Amen.